Good morning, everyone. So the first sermon in our series of Luke was titled Good News. We looked at two stories where Gabriel announced that Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a child, and Mary and Joseph will have a child. Now, Zechariah served as a priest. He and his wife were well along in years and was not able to conceive. While Zechariah was serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced that he and Elizabeth would have a son and will name him John. Now, Zechariah questioned Gabriel, and he was unable to speak until the day John was born as part of his questioning Gabriel. So 9 months later, Zechariah and Elizabeth would become parents, and their son is born. We also looked at the story of Mary and Joseph. Gabriel appears to Mary and announces that she will have a child. However, her story will be different because Mary, one, is a virgin, and two, her son is God's son. Now, in Luke 1, we see how both Mary and Zechariah respond to this good news. We looked at Mary's response in December, and we skipped over Zechariah's response somewhat deliberately. I thought that the story of John would go well when John gets ready to go out and share the good news. But in preparation of this sermon, I realized that there is so much here that it's actually going to end up being two sermons. So this morning, I want to return to Luke 1, and I want to study John's birth and Zechariah's response. As we study this passage, we will see why Zechariah praised God and why we should praise him. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to Luke 1, 57 through 66. I'll give you guys a moment to find that. So Luke 1, 57 through 66 says this. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. And he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them. And these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard about him took it to heart, saying, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the Lord's hand was with him." Now, Zechariah had been silent for 9 months. And his wife, who has been unable to conceive a child, just had her son. As I read this passage, I can't help but think about the moment my two kids were born. It was truly incredible. There is nothing like the moment you get to see and hold your child for the first time. I know Zechariah and Elizabeth felt the same way. They wanted a child for so long, and now God has given them one. And Zechariah's response, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak. and praises God. This morning you might be here listening to this story thinking, what God did for Zechariah and Elizabeth was nice. I wish I had a reason to praise God. However, don't miss why Zechariah gave praise to God. Zechariah does not give praise for John. You would think that would be his response, that his entire praise would be to God for his son, John, but he doesn't. His praise is to God for his provision, mercy, purpose, and peace. So this morning, we're going to take a look at each one of those opportunities of praise. So number one, Zechariah gives praise for God's provision. Look at Luke 1, 67 through 71. Luke 1, 67 through 71. He says, "Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us.'" Now, Zechariah knows that God is providing redemption for his people, and salvation is coming. In verse 68, he says, "Blessed is the Lord because he has visited and provided redemption for his people." Zechariah is proclaiming that God is a personal God. He has visited Zechariah and spoken to Zechariah. And he has done that with you and me as well. Listen, church, we are not alone. God is present in the good and in the bad. No matter what you're facing, God is with you. He loves you and is with you this very moment. He has also provided redemption for his people. Zechariah knows that because we are sinners, we need redemption. Remember, Zechariah is a priest. His job is to offer sacrifices for sin. How many animals has he laid upon the altar because of people's sins? If anyone has an idea of how sinful people can be, it's Zechariah. He knows how fallen we are and our need for a Savior, which is why he says in verse 69 and 71 that God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. Zechariah knows that salvation is coming and gives praise for the provision of God. But Zechariah also gives praise for God's mercy. Luke 1, 72 through 75. "He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, he has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from the hand of our enemies, to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in the presence of all our days." God's mercy is incredible. No one deserves it. Zechariah is a prime example of this. Gabriel comes to him with good news that he and Elizabeth are going to have a child, and he responds in disbelief. Zechariah doesn't deserve mercy, but God gave it to him. God also gives you and me mercy. We do not deserve it. Think of every time you have broken one of God's laws. Just think about that for a moment. If there was a tally board for Rob Brewer, there would be thousands of marks up there because of all the laws that I have broken of God's. And I'm sure that if we put a tally board for each one of you, it would look the same. We deserve punishment. However, God has a plan and has set that plan into motion to rescue the lost. Verse 74, he says, "We have been rescued." We have no way to be with God before Christ. However, Jesus made a way for you and me when he gave his life on the cross. Verse 75, he says, "Now we can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days." It's because of God's mercy in Jesus Christ that we are now seen as holy and righteous. Church, I want to repeat that. I want us to understand what this means for us. It is because of God's mercy in Jesus Christ that we are now seen as holy and righteous. That means that board of those 1,000 marks plus of all our sins is wiped clean. And we are made holy and righteous because of him. And I love how Luke ends verse 75. He says, "In his presence all our days." Church, a day is coming when every follower of Jesus Christ will be in his presence forever. And that is because of Jesus Christ. We have a reason to praise him. And we have a reason to give praise to God for his mercy. But Zechariah also gives praise for God's purpose. Luke 1:76 through 77 says this, "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord and prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Zechariah is talking about John and his purpose. You can picture him looking at his new baby boy and saying, "You, child, will be a prophet." However, John will not be just any prophet. He will prepare the way for Jesus Christ with a message of salvation through forgiveness of sins. John's purpose is to share this message. However, God has also given you and me a purpose. We also are to proclaim a message of salvation through forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:5 through 9 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Every person we see, every single person we see, not only in this room, but when we walk outside these doors, when we're at our workplaces, when we're hanging out with one another, when we're in the mall, when we're having dinner, every person we see has done something to break God's law. Every person. Which means that every person needs Christ. Without Christ, there is no hope. It is only through confessing we are sinners and believing in Christ that we can be saved. And today, if you're here and listening to this message and have not confessed you're a sinner and believed in Christ, we pray you will. Church, we have a purpose, and that is to proclaim this message to the lost. We must share what Christ has done and encourage the lost to confess their sins and believe in Him. We have a purpose, and that is our purpose. Will we be obedient to that purpose that God has given us? Zechariah gives praise also for peace in Luke 1:78-79. And he says this, because our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God has already done so much. If we stopped right at verse 77, it's more than enough for us. But he goes a step further in his love for us to provide peace for us. He says that the dawn from on high, he's talking about Jesus Christ, God's Son, is coming to visit us. And he will not only save us, but guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, it's important that we understand that this peace is not a promise of peace on earth. Many can look at this passage and quickly say, well, you Christians have it wrong. Jesus has come, and there is no peace in this world that we live in. And when we look around and see everything that's going on, we can actually say that you're right, there is no peace. And so if this peace is the peace of earth, there is an issue. But this peace is not peace on earth. Christ did not come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace between us and God. Because our sin separates us. We cannot have a relationship with God. And Scripture says that we are seen as enemies of God. Jesus Christ came to bring peace between us and God. When he says he's going to guide our feet into a way of peace, he's talking about that Christ is going to guide us into that peaceful relationship with God that we do not deserve. So it is because of his sacrifice on the cross that we are made right and have peace with God. Without Jesus, it would be impossible to have peace with God. But when Jesus came, he also brought peace. And so we have a reason to give praise for peace. This morning, we have seen Zechariah's praise for God's provision, mercy, purpose, and peace. We too have a reason to praise God. Like Zechariah, God has done the same for you and I. And so as we come to our time of response this morning, it would seem fitting to offer an opportunity for us to praise Him. So yesterday I called Sandy and shared with her what we were going to be talking about. And I said, Sandy, would you please spend the remaining time of our service this morning leading us into a time of praise. And so during this time, Our prayer is that you will reflect on God's provision, mercy, purpose, and peace, and respond in praise to Him for what He has done for us, because we have an awesome God who loves us in ways that we will never fully understand. He deserves our praise. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much just for Zechariah's praise. What an incredible picture, Lord, of what true praise looks like. God, I thank you that Zechariah did not give praise out of his circumstances, but he gave praise because of what you have done for him. Lord, as we come to this time to reflect on your provision, mercy, purpose, and peace, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will help us see all that you have done for us. And you will help us respond in praise to you. God, we do pray for those that we come in contact with that do not know you. They do not have a reason to praise because they have no hope. Lord, we pray that you will help us communicate this good news to them. We pray that you will work in their hearts to help them understand the love, the mercy, the grace, the goodness, the provision that you have given them. And we ask that they will come to know you as Savior and Lord. We love you so much, God. And we offer this time now, this time of praise, to you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.